ideas of vacations, people who come here for their vacations to learn in Eretz Yisrael are megala to the world that this is where the party is. This is where everybody should be. And it's not easy to work all year round. A person needs a vacation. For us to understand that our vacation, Kihem Chayenu Varach Yameinu, is Torah, is an awesome Kiddush Hashem. An awesome Kiddush Hashem. I envy you, and Hashem should bless you and your families, and you should see Nachas, L'dorei Doros, and we should continue to see you here, but not just once a year, but all the time. You should be Zeicha to come here and learn with us. Ad Bias Kael.
Amen.
We've been talking about the Tefillah of an Ani. A poor man's prayer. The Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Balak says an incredible thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, had incredible tefillahs. Moshe Rabbeinu had an impressive tefillah. David had the best tefillah of kings. But who has the best tefillah of them all? The Ani, the poor person. Somebody in our generation, you could find him maybe sitting outside with his feet sticking out of his shoes, Rachmana Litzlan, tattered clothes. When he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his tefillahs bokeh the rakias more than Moshe Rabbeinu. It's something that's mind-boggling. And we explained, like the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Tesam and Bey says, that the greatest matana that Hashem gave us, surprise, surprise, is poverty. That's what the Gemara says. That's what Hashem gave us, that's the greatest matana, the greatest present, says Rabbeinu Chananel, yes. Because when someone feels impoverished, or someone is impoverished, they always have their eye on the ball. They're always meshabed libam lamakom, and their enayim are lamala to bayrei oilam. They're in a constant state of looking for bayrei oilam. And when someone's in that zone, he's not faking when he's davening. When he's davening and he's not sure what's going to be for dinner, what he's going to feed his children, so then the tefillah is reaching an intensity that can't be rehearsed. It's real. It's real. And it's by Kaya the Rakias. And the Tomer Devorah, is a must-read for B'nai Torah, even though it seems a little bit deep, but we have a Kabbalah that this is one of the Sifrei Yisoid of Musar. And he talks about imitating, whatever this means, the Midah of Malchus of Hashem. Whatever that means. Ein lanu esek b'nistaris. But he says, what is it to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midah of Malchus? Rishayna lekulan shelo yisgaya libo. A person shouldn't be arrogant. B'chol asherlo. V'yasim atzmo tamid ka'ani. He should always try to be like a poor person. He's a poor man wannabe. That's the goal. V'yamod atzmo lefnei kono kedal. And in front of Hashem, he should feel impoverished. Shoyol u'mischanin, and ask. And a person should be margal himself in this midah. And he says that in specific, be'es tfiloisav, while he's davening, shezu skula nifla. This is an awesome skula of davening as an ani, of living with that reality of being an ani lifnei Hashem. Rav Volba said something that really hurt me, to be honest. It hurt me hard. I think I was learning it with Yitzi Mandel, and it hurt me. It hurt me. Rav Volba says, what is the thing that stops us from davening well, with kavana? So I would think, maybe an iPhone. Rav Volba didn't have iPhones back then, so maybe telephones, faxes, hustle and bustle. Says Rav Volba, what stops a person from davening the kavana? Gaiva, arrogance. Arrogance is what keeps people from davening b'kavana. What does this mean? It's very simple. After we were learning this, I came to Myriv, and you know, Myriv is heavy, especially after you eat dinner. You know, there's a big nafkamina between Myriv before dinner or after. The Yisod V'Shar Shavoda even has a vidui for eating too much before Myriv. We all know what happens to those Myrivs, right? Anyway, I'm coming up to Myriv, and the question is, can I afford to space out right now? Can I afford this? The answer is, Stark, you can't afford this. You can't. And says Rav Volba in his Lashon that when somebody decides he can afford not to daven, he's basically saying that he can afford to pull it off without a Kaddish Baruch. Every tefillah, shachris, I can't afford to have a morning without a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Mincha, I can't afford to have an afternoon without a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Maariv, it's a mentality of an ani that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if a person understood this well, then a person would have incredible tefillahs in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't afford not to. And the Gemara says something fascinating. In Psachim on Kuf Yud Gimel, it says there are four people that ain't hadas sov lasan. These people, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? What are these people? Who are these four? I'm not going to tell you all four, but I'll tell you one of them. One of them, says the Gemara, is a dal geya, an arrogant, poor person. This, the Gemara says, you can't understand what this guy is thinking. His whole life is poverty. He doesn't know where his next meal is. And he's arrogant? If a person would understand, be toifes, his metzias, mamish, like Rav Yerucham of Mir says, he says, people who have a wife and children and don't daven with kavana are cruel people. Every day is a question mark. Every moment is a question of hatzlacha or failure, of life or death. And when a person's living like this, so it's a different davening. It's a different davening. And a lot of people don't have this mentality of an ani. A lot of people live their professions, not like the people who came from Yarchei Kala. But the Mishnah in Kedushin tells us about people who live their professions. And it says something that, you know, I don't know if we can put it on our website. You know, it's not a good fundraiser. Maybe we'll edit it out. But this is what it says. It's a Mishnah. It's not my fault. It's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Toiv Shebiroifim! The best of the doctors. We have any doctors in the house? I think we do. Toiv Shebiroifim LeGehenim. The best of doctors are going to Gehenim. Eeks. Nobody told me that one when I applied for medical school. Right? What in the world is going on? Says Rashi. Eino Yorei Minacholi. He's not afraid of sickness. Why? He does, you know, he's always up on those studies of things like that fight cancer and fight this and fight that. Umacholo Michael Briam, he's a picture of health. He knows whether you should be eating margarine or when you stop eating margarine, when you should eat some broccoli, when you should eat garlic. He's up on everything. The Eino Mishaber Libo Lamakom. He doesn't break his heart in front of Hashem. And he says, Pamim Shahorig Nefasha. Sometimes he actually kills people in his practice. From his arrogance, V'yesh B'yadu L'rapo Ta'ani V'enu Marape. And sometimes if someone doesn't pay the price, he's not willing to help them. But sometimes we're in a zone where we feel we're a picture of health. We're people who jog in place at the red lights. You know those guys? They got the headbands. They don't want to be mafsik from their jogging. They're jumping up and down. I know one of those people who's no longer with us. I know one of those people because it hits from the other side. Aniyim. We're all aniyim. And the more a person's tayfes is aniyis, the more a person is connected to Hashem. It's an attitude. And even the way we daven shows this. Rabbeinu Bechai in Parshas Korach says that the idea of davening, it's amazing that we do this. And watch everybody. Nobody does differently. I've seen people who are very lax in davening, but no one, when they take three steps forward, leaves their place in the middle of Shmon Esrei. They might have a very short Shmon Esrei. They go on like this. Right? They're done. Some of the kids in Cheder have that type of Shmon Esrei. You have to give them some time until they get used to davening properly. Okay, but they all have to take three steps back. No one just like goes in there and just like, ah, what's going on over here? No one does that. It's amazing. Klal Yisrael. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, what does it mean to go in like this and not move? We acknowledge in front of Hashem, Hashem, I have no mobility. I can't move. It's amazing. Guys who can't sit still the whole day can stand in their place in Shmona Esrei for a good 3 minutes at least. That's amazing. Because it's a matzah where in there I see that I have no mobility. I'm going nowhere without this davening. And then Rabbeinu Bechai says something fascinating. You might have seen some monks sometime. You ever see a monk or a priest? Or maybe you've seen it in an ad. how the Krokshtins daven. They daven like this. The way they pray is like this. You ever see that? Interesting. You know why they do that? So I'll tell you a Dvar Torah. So if you ever see a monk in the elevator and you want to impress him, Rabbeinu Bechai asked this question. He says, why do the Ovdei Avodah Zarah daven like this? And he says, they don't know the answer, but I'll tell you why. But I'll tell you why. He says, because they understood at some point, they probably got it from us, as usual, right? That there's no mobility. So they tie their hands together like this. He says, but we believe that the ikkar is our legs not moving, and it's not really our hands. But the Maharal says more. It's not a Goyisha practice. It's ours. Chazal tell us that you're supposed to have your hands like this, like an Eved. And he says that just like your legs shouldn't have mobility because you're going nowhere without Hashem, so too your hands are supposed to be like this, together, in a way expressing that Hashem, every part of me right now is understanding that I'm an Ani. I can't walk. I can't use my hands. I'm useless right now. And we go into that zone. And this is not just Stam like some sort of tekes, like theatrics, where we're pretending. This is the zone of tefillah. You enter a world where you understand what life is about, what it is to be an Ani lifnei Hashem. And we talked about tears, and I want to bring this back, because we're chewing on this topic. This is a new topic for us, davening with tears. Aniyim are people who cry a lot, people who are broken. There's the tefillah of Dema. And the Gon says in Megillas Esther that you have to try to reach tears. And we thought this was above us, but people this week told me that they cried for the first time in davening. So let's try to, again, this is a journey. We're trying to experience new emotions. This idea of crying in front of Hashem. Last week we talked about the Maharal saying that tears cloud the eyes. They're a way of breaking the vision. A person has something in mind of where he should be going and what he should be doing, and suddenly those impractical tears cover his eyesight and he doesn't know where he's going. He's tapping into a madrega over there. Like Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shari Tshuva, he's broken his eyes. And there he understands life better. The Shari Demos, Shalom in Alu, are activated when a person can reach that type of vulnerability. But it's more than that. It's more than that. And that is that eyes are used to stare at someone longingly, like this. Try it. Look at somebody longingly, knowing that they can help you. Stare at them. Stare. When you stare at something that you're longing for, you use your eyes. And the Chafetz Chaim says in Maimer Tzipis LeYeshua, that's why the word tzipia, which is to long, comes from the word tzofet, which is to look from afar, like a lookout post. You use these eyes longingly for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the matzav of tefillah. We had Tachanun last week, we talked about, was a point of desperation. What do we say at the end of Tachanun? V'anachnu lo neida manase. We don't know what to do anymore. Said the Medrash. We try davening sitting in Kriya Shema. We try davening standing in Shmona Esrei. We tried collapsing in Tachanun. V'anachnu lo neida manase. We don't know what to do anymore. What are the next words? Davar Neira. Anachnu lo neida manase ki alecha einenu. Because we're looking at you. We are looking towards you. The matzav of davening is staring at Hashem kiviyachol and waiting for him to help you. Zoning in that this is the only place, and you do that with your eyes. Rabbeinu Manoach says on the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah, why is Tefillah called an Avodah? What is the Avodah of Tefillah? Like we said, it's not a vending machine. A vending machine doesn't need to be an avoida. Ask Hashem for this, ask Hashem for that. I want a Coke, I want a Pepsi, I want a candy bar. That's not what Hashem wants. Says Rabbeinu Manoach, the word avoida comes from the word eved, servant. A servant has nowhere to go except to his master. Except to his master. That's where he has to go. Masha kana eved kana rabo. He has no options The Pasuk says, the Rosh Yeshiva was davening for us today, for Rav Aaron Leib, with this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Hine einenu kavadim, ke'ene avadim el yada adoneim. Like the eyes of an eved to their master. Ke'ene shifcha el yad givirta. Like the eyes of a maidservant to her master. We're looking at you, Hashem, and we're not stopping to look. We're looking and looking until you answer us. Eyes long. And that's why eyes cry. The sweat of looking longingly towards Bayrei Olam is the sweat of the neshama while it's looking towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I had this once happen to me. There was a man, he was at Tzadik Yisod Olam, his name was Rav Yitzchak Finkel, Zatzal. He was somebody in our community, he was the son of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva Mir. When I came to Ramat Eshkol, I saw him saying, this Rav Yitzchak Finkel saying brachas in the morning. He said brachas in Birchas HaShachar like I would say Ne'ilah, better. I'm like, who is this person? I didn't know who he was. I was watching his brachas every day. Who was this? It was Rav Yitzchak Finkel. He was a tzaddik Yisrael Yoylem. He was taken from us very early. And he was a holy, holy individual. After his father died, the Mir was trying to gather, funds and whatever, people who were willing to pitch in. And somebody called me, an Askan from the Mir, and said, we'd like to meet with you. What do they want to meet with the Mashkiach? I don't know. They want me to, speak publicly for them? I don't know. But I met with them, and it was two askanim. And lo and behold, who comes in? Rav Yitzchak Finkel. He wasn't supposed to be at the meeting. Okay, I already decided I'm going to humor these people. And maybe I'll help them a little bit, but not what they were asking me to do. What they were asking me to do was over the top, okay? It was just over the top. And I was prepared, I'll speak to you in a few weeks. You know how it works. Oh, we'll see. And we're finishing up the meeting, and I'm like, thank you for coming, and I'll see. I don't know. We'll have to see. This Yitzchak Finkel looks at me in a way I've never experienced anybody look at me before. He looks at me, and his eyes start getting watery. And he starts talking about his father. And he starts talking about the Mir Yeshiva. And he's basically commanding me to help the yeshiva. And I'm looking at him just like, okay, I'll do whatever you want. And then I told my wife, what did you commit to? Right? But it was incredible. Someone zones in and says, you are my answer. Zoning in like that. When we do that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we zone in like that, through our einenu, our eyes, until you answer us, it's extremely powerful. And when it's with dmos, who could not answer a teary-eyed person? I was once by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, with someone who was in very big trouble. Very big trouble, a very scary situation. We got a very private meeting with Rav Chaim, and this was before I had been familiar with Rav Chaim's Chatzar. Now I've been there many, many times, but this was in the old days. We went to Rav Chaim, and this person says to Rav Chaim, I'm really nervous. This is something that's a life and death issue. I don't know what's going to be. And lo and behold, what does Rav Chaim say to him? You guessed it. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Now, the bracha v'hatzlacha of Rav Chaim is worth millions. But you know what? When you're in that situation, you're hoping for something more. And this balabas started bawling in front of Rav Chaim. He just burst into tears. We're talking like hysterics. Rav Chaim started going like this. I've never seen anything like, started going like this. And he says, you have nothing to worry about. This problem is over. And it's been many years, and that problem's gone. The hisorus of an emotional tefillah, Rabosai, sending this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't bear to see us in a situation that's difficult for ourselves. I was thinking, people like to have audio-visual presentations, right? Audio-visual, right? My shmooze is only audio. Right? I mean, having especially good hair day today, it's a shame. But Imagine audio visual. How do you daven with audio visual effects? How do you daven with audio visual? So first of all, you have to wear a hat and jacket. That's pashut. So you're seen with your hat and jacket. But there's a tremendous way to daven audio visual. The pasuk says in Malachim that Chizkiah, when he davened to Hashem, he says, I heard your bechi and I saw your dmos. Koli shema ure'e dema eini. I heard your tefillas and I saw you. I saw you look like a wreck. When a person comes in front of Hashem and davens with an emotional expression, a kol bechi, and he gets into it with a little bit of dema, it's an audio-visual presentation that takes care of everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally focused on hearing you and seeing your situation. And all of us can do this. As we pointed out last week, so many people have cried in my office. So many people who don't usually get their emotions out. You know why? Very simple, like we said. They know how to have a conversation. When they're talking to someone, they can get emotional. The Shari Demos don't come from crybabies. They come from people who are crying while talking to Hashem. If you cry at another point in the day and you don't channel it to Hashem, you just stop crying. But if a person cries towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's the real Shari Demos. And it's not depressing. People think that crying is depressing. Crying is coming close. Is coming close. Can you cry on Shabbos? Can you cry on Shabbos? Says the Taz. An amazing thing. He's cholik on a Ramah. And the Taz in Resh Peches, Simon Beis, Sif Beis, he's discussing crying on Shabbos. He says you can't cry sadly. But it says that Rabbi Akiva would cry on Shabbos while he was davening. Says the Taz, V'nira li dahainu shemeirovz ve'kuso ba'kodesh baruch hu. Zolgin ein of dmos. From that feeling of closeness to Hashem, his eyes started tearing. He was looking towards Hashem. He was longing. Shechein matzinu b'Rabbi Akiva b'Zohar Chadash. We find that Rabbi Akiva in the Zohar, she'yaboichem o'oy b'amro shir ashirim. Rabbi Akiva was enraptured with love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And during shir ashirim, he would cry. And he says, this is what it means to cry on Shabbos during Shemona Esrei. Shabbos is also bakashas. Everyone was asking me, where are the bakashas in Shabbos? How can you tell me that the gedder of tefillah, according to the Maharal, like we said, according to the Mabit, according to the Rambam, is bakashas? On Shabbos, you're not allowed to have bakashas. Excuse me. Maybe we should look at our davening carefully. V'taher libeinu lavdecha be'emes. Kadshenu mitzvosecha, sein chalkenu b'sarasecha. Ruchni is dik, bakashas on Shabbos. We're going towards Hashem. We're looking towards Bari Eilam. Heal me. V'tayr libeinu lavdecha be'emes. I'm stuck in something. I'm stuck in shmutz. Fix me! Fix me! I'm not attached to your Torah. V'sein chalkenu b'sarasecha. Attach me! You do this for me. I'm an ani. I'm in a situation here where I look at everything that's in front of me, the Torah, and it's dry. And sometimes I even fall asleep. Make me get into it. Give me kedusha, kadshen mitzvosecha. When a person looks towards Hashem like that, they break through their eyes. They're breaking through. They're breaking through all the mechitzas. They're looking towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a different tefillah. It's a different tefillah. It's a metzias of dveikus l'Hashem. And even when you have something to daven for that you really want, I have news for you. Every person who's davened with an emotion has felt that the tefillah itself was so exhilarating, was so exciting, that it was an experience of closeness. It wasn't sadness. It was closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a feeling of connection. That's the whole reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu set this up, is so that we could connect with him. And who was the first poor man? Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, right, comes to a world, and like we brought, Rashi says, that there was nobody there, Lavadis Adama, no one to work the land, no one to daven to Hashem, to be makir b'tovasin shel geshamim, until Adam HaRishon started davening, and the rain fell. Let's imagine this situation, okay? Adam HaRishon comes to a world, and he looks, and it's all just flatlands. Nothing exciting going on. Nothing growing. Nothing. No vegetation. Everything's at the tip of the ground waiting to sprout. Can you imagine? And you know what they tell him? Something has to drop from the sky in order for the world to continue. There has to be water that falls from the sky. Can you imagine this? Something has to drop from the sky? Adam HaRishon had to daven and pull things down from Shamayim. This is incredible. And this is the tzura of tefillah for everything. Everything. The Ramchal says in Derech Hashem that the more you get into your davening, the more you pull things from Shamayim that you were supposed to get on Rosh Hashanah that aren't coming down. But if you get into your davening, it'll bring it all down. That's what davening is. It's pulling and pulling down. Hashem, I need you. I need you to bring this down for me from Shemayim. It's all the way up there. And the question is, what do you mean? Adam HaRishon didn't know what water is? There was no water? Let me refer you to a Rashi right before. My Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, asked this kasha. This is a bomb kasha. How was Adam HaRishon formed? How was Adam HaRishon formed? There was an aid, a moisture that went up into the clouds, created rain, created a clay form to shape Adam HaRishon. It already rained! It already rained! What, this is the first time it's raining? It was raining a couple psukim ago. It rained. Adam HaRishon is made out of water. He's made out of water. But that's exactly it. Adam HaRishon understood from that taste of the water that this is his whole chiyus. His whole chiyus is this mayim. And he was able to understand that from inside his very being, that he needs more, that he needs more of this. And he found within himself that tzorich, that need, that this is my whole chiyus. And it's not a coincidence that water comes out of your eyes. Water coming out, the dmos, the shari avoda brings, that it's like Nisuch HaMayim. Nisuch HaMayim, we know, is what brings water down. When a person's very essence, he squeezes out the water from himself, says, I need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need your Mayim. It's a chibur of Mayim Elyonim and Mayim Tachtonim. It's a total connection that we can't be masik. And it's a terrible thing to think that this is Nebi. People say, you're telling me to be Nebi. You know, I believe in being confident and strong. You're telling me to be a wimp. People were asking me, it's embarrassing to cry in davening. It looks like you don't have yourself together. It's the exact opposite. Let's analyze for a second. David HaMelech says, Ani tfilasi, I am davening. Whoa. That means if we study David, we'll understand what davening is. He says, I am davening. Okay? Let's try to understand if David was Nebi. Malchus Yisrael. David was Nebi. Well, David says, Anochi tolas veloish. I'm a worm and not a man. Sounds pretty Nebi. Right? Nevertheless, we find that David says to Shaul, you know that Goliath guy? That big giant, bum, 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 bum. I could take him with my slingshot. Yo, Goliath. What? You're a worm! You're a worm! The Gemara in Psachim on Kuf Yud Tes says nobody wants to bench L'Asid Lavo. Avram Avinu says I had Yishmael. Yitzchak says I have Esav. Everyone's folding out of benching. Comes David and says, I got it, Rabotai. I'm taking the benching. Kost Yeshua says, Sa uveshem Hashem Ekra. Frak the Maral and Netzach Yisrael. David's better than everybody. David had Avshalom, right? Not something to be proud of. David had done Chataim. What in the world is going on? Where is he getting this confidence from? Taking on Goliath. Benching in front of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, and Aaron. You know where he's getting all this? The opposite. The Gilui of Malchus. The Gilui of Malchus, Shemayim. And the Gilui of Malchus down here is that when I realize that I'm a tefillah, when I realize that I'm a davening, I'm unstoppable. Nobody can mess with me. Because I've attached all of my accomplishments to the Shmona Esrei that I'm about to have and the one that I had before. And if I was little old me, a little bit of a worm, then I'd be in trouble. But you know what? I am tefillah. I am davening. And that's my greatness. And the Medrash Shocher Tov says, what does it mean to be a worm? I'm a worm. I joke with my kids. We do, like, in Navarik, they said there were worms, so we do this in our house. We fall on the couch and go, I'm a worm. Something we do for fun. Right? Yerushalayim. These are the games we play. I'm a worm. What does it mean to be a worm? What does it mean to be a worm? David HaMelech says the Medrash Shocher Tov in Mizmor Chaf Beis. You ever see a worm? Take a magnifying glass. You watch a worm, it has no legs, it has no arms. You know what it just has? A mouth. It goes like this. And it eats through everything. David HaMelech says, all I am is a davener. I just have my mouth. Anochi tola'as velo ish. I'm a chefsa of tefillah. And I'll tell you something incredible. Rabbeinu Bechai in Breishis says that David HaMelech was like the moon, was like the Levana. And there are many rise to this. He's like the moon. Not like the sun, but like the moon. What's the idea of the moon? The moon originally was very upset. The Gemara in Chulin and Rashi tells us. The moon says, look at the sun and look at me. We can't have two kings. It's either him or me. And you know what? Hashem says, okay, you bake your cake, you have to eat it. Now we're going to push you down. And the moon became small, and now he's where he is right now. And, you know, Kiddush Levana, which we're about to do, Bekarav, we keep saying, let the Levana shine again, let the Levana shine again. And then we say, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. What's going on? David comes back here again. David's the moon. You know how bright the moon used to shine? The moon used to shine like the sun. You ever take a mirror and put it against the sun? Try looking in the mirror, you'll get blinded. If something fully reflects the sun, it looks like the sun. Originally, the Ma'or HaGadol, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol, was shining on the Levana, was shining on the moon, and the moon was a blazing fire, lighting up the night no less than the day. But the moon didn't want to be that guy who gets handouts from Hashem, who's a tefillah. The moon wanted to blaze alone. I want to be the sun. I want to be the source of my light. And that was the demise of the moon. The moon became small because he didn't realize he could shine as bright as the sun if he would realize that he's from the Ribono Shalom. And he's a mere reflection of Kavod Shamayim. He's a tolas v'lo ish. And David's whole life was this. David's whole ne'im zmirus, all of Tehillim, which we're zochet to have, is this ticket from David HaMelech of being a reflection, of being a tefillah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not his own ego, but taking on the world because I'm a reflection of Hashem. And I heard a Davar Neira from my Rebbe Rav Moshe Shapiro. He said the letter Dalet, like we brought from the Gemara in Shabbos, said, on Kuf Dalet, says Dalet is impoverished. Right? Vav is usually, there's a pipeline of Shefa, of Bracha. So if you have a Dalet, a Vav, and a Dalet, which is David, so you think David gets a Dalet, then he gets a Vav, which is all the brachas in the world, and then you would think he's Mr. Fancy Schmancy guy with a Ferrari afterwards. No, David gets hashpa from Hashem. David's a poor man. He gets hashpa with a vav, and at the end he's still a poor man because he realizes this is a flow of tefillah. My whole life is a flow of tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is not just something we do three times a day. This is a hashkafa of how we look at the rest of our day. Do we look at our entire day as tefillah? It's not by coincidence that the Kuzari was so excited from Shachris to Mincha to Mariv, because it's a hashkafa of how to see our achievements. And someone who takes the davening, will be as powerful as the davening itself. David HaMelech reached all these madregas by being tefillah. David HaMelech reached the madrega that he made a tikkun klali. Tikkun klali, whoa. You know those pamphlets they give out that say tikkun klali? I don't know about what those are. I don't know much about it. But I want to make my own pamphlets. And they're going to be called Tikkun Atzum, not Tikkun Klali. Tikkun Atzum! Tikkun Atzum. What is this? Where's Shmuley Lazar? We'll market this together. Tikkun Atzum, okay? You open it up, and what's inside? Ashrei. Short, too. It's going to sell. It's going to sell. We'll make leather-bound ones. The Gemara says that somebody who says Ashrei three times a day, Muftach lo shuven al naba. How do you create such a thing? NASA sent somebody to the moon, right? Maybe they'll send people further. How do you give somebody Olam Haba? David HaMelech created a Tikkun Atzum. David was just a flow of the Hashpah of Hashem, of the Malchuso Yisbarach, of Malchuso Yisbarach. Les le megar me klum. He doesn't have anything for himself. And the more a person taps into the Madrega, this Madrega, which is so doable, the more a person realizes how vulnerable he is, the more a person will be empowered, the more a person will be excited to take on the world. We should all be zeicher that all of our tefillah should be niskava.